At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, what's going on, Winning Shot family, man? I am so thankful for everybody who has been watching up to this point. If you watched our last NBA podcast, then you know that we are doing coverage round by round. But there's been some spicy series this first round. But we're going to just focus on the Eastern Conference today as we await the Western Conference finals, the Western Conference matchups to kick off to the next round. But first, I want to especially shout out my boy Hundo. It is his birthday today. Hundo, how are you feeling today on your birthday? And tell me a little bit about how you feeling about the playoffs thus far.
I'm feeling good, man. Blessed to see another year, man. Thanking the man upstairs for keeping me around for another year. But this basketball, man, exciting times, man. NBA playoffs, man. We here, man. Knicks done advanced. Eastern Conference shaping up to be kind of how we expected. Western Conference still, like you said, got a couple of matchups to be decided, but excited to see the best of the best, man.
Yeah. So far, have there been any big surprises in the playoffs that shocked you?
I know when we were talking earlier, I think we both had the Bucks winning that series against Indiana. And Indiana looks to be for real. And then of course in the Western Conference, the Lakers getting dropped off by the Timberwolves.
Yeah. So you mentioned about the Pacers, so I guess we can start there. So Pacers beat the Bucks 4-1. I think a lot of people were expecting, at least with Dame coming back, it would be a more competitive series. But in that last game, we saw kind of a microcosm of what the series been all together. Bucks were up for a while, and then they just gave it up, and the Pacers came back 119, 118, and won in overtime. You called it. You talked about how the Pacers, you know, had a good team, but I thought both of us had the Bucks right going forward in the series.
Yeah.
So that was a shocker, man. How are you feeling about the series, and what are your thoughts?
Let's go back to that last game, right?
Yeah.
Bro, they was up 7 with 40 seconds left, bro. There's no way you blow, Gary Trent turned the ball over. Can't get the ball in bounds. Bro, there's no way you collapse with 40 seconds left.
Yeah.
40 seconds? And then, like we mentioned, Dame missed game one. He was chirping with Halliburton. He came back. Didn't really do much of anything when he came back, if we're being honest. Man, that's gonna be interesting to see what they do moving forward. But, the Pacers, shout out to the Pacers, man. Them boys for real, man. It wasn't a fluke last year when they made their run in the playoffs last year. It wasn't a fluke. Them boys looked to be for real.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I think, first of all, hope Dame's get better. I think he's still got some in the tank. For those who don't know, Dame ruptured his Achilles game five, right? Game five. And we know he was dealing with the blood clot earlier. So everybody was waiting for him to come back from the blood clot, and he ended up rupturing his Achilles. But, like you said, man, you can't have a fumble like that with that last game. You definitely had two games where you were up late in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like the Pacers just walked them down. And like you said, man, I think people sleep on the Pacers because they're just a small market team, but they got a decent roster. They got pieces on their roster. You know, even going down to Nembhard, you got TJ McConnell, you still got Benedict Mathurin, Miles Turner. It's just like a lot of pieces that can be good pieces on contending teams that we know of, but they kind of all put it together with B-plus prospects, and you kind of package that with an emerging star like Tyrese. I think a lot of teams don't want to play Indiana because they know top to bottom they got players that can compete at least.
Yeah, and they get it done on both ends. Like, they're arguably one of the best teams, if not the best offensive team, offensively as far as pace, how they get up and down the court. And like you said, having Halliburton as that key piece, as the facilitator who can also score when needed, that's big. So,
yeah.
Them boys gonna be tough.
So let me ask you this: I know that the Bucks were technically the lower seed because the Pacers were, you know, number four. But both of us had the Bucks going forward in this series. So do you feel like in a series that the Bucks lost it or the Pacers won it?
I don't think they had enough firepower. Like, I can definitely say that they lost that last game. Like, they blew that last game for sure. But I don't think that they had enough firepower alongside Giannis. And I think we might have talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it the last episode, if we talked about it just in a chat, but we were talking about how they're playing. Like, it's just Giannis going downhill, and if he can't get something, he's kicking it out to try to find an open shooter, right? So that style of play didn't work, especially when you're going against an Indiana team that has a Pascal Siakam that could match up with Giannis. I'm not saying he can shut him down or anything, but that's not a bad matchup if you're the Pacers. You got Miles Turner also down there. Them boys get after it on the defensive end, and especially with Dame not being 100% and him already missing that first game, it's like, who else besides Giannis is going to step up? Gary Trent had a big game. I think that was the one game that they won where he had like maybe 30-something maybe. But outside of that, it was like, where's the offense going to come? They decided to bring in Kevin Porter Jr., started him when Dame was out. It's just like, dog, like that wasn't it. So I just don't think they had enough firepower.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on the fence because, like, I thought even without Dame that the Bucks would have enough to get to round two at least. But I feel like that trade they made in the middle of the season with Kyle Kuzma, like, that kind of let me down because I thought Kyle could at least give you 18. But it was a game where he had zero everything. He had zero rebounds, zero assists, 0 points. He was out there getting cardio. And the Kyle Kuzma I remember from L.A. could at least be a great third option. And so I'm curious to know, when you look back on that trade, I forget the exact, you know, what they gave up, but could you have used the Middleton in this series? And I feel like a lot of their role players didn't step up when, you know, Dame went down and the moment required them. Because even with KPJ, like, I thought KPJ was going to give you a little bit more. But it seemed like it was just the Giannis show, and Giannis was literally carrying them. And I thought with their current roster construction, with Bobby Portis coming back, you have Brooks, you have all these pieces, they could at least give you enough to get past the Pacers, in my opinion. But, yeah.
And maybe that's a credit to the Pacers, too, though. Like I said, like, matchup-wise, like, they match up good across the board. Like, 9 times out of 10 – Giannis is bullying teams. He's not able to bully the Pacers because they have a Siakam, like I mentioned. Like, they have a Miles Turner down low. They have an Obi Toppin that's big and strong. Like, they just match up well. And then their guards also defend. Like, outside of Halliburton, like, Mathurin can lock up. What's the other boy? Nembhard. Nesmith. I'm talking about Nembhard, though. Nembhard was getting up in the game.
Yeah.
He was getting up into him. So they are a very good defensive team. So don't sleep on the Pacers.
Yeah. So if you're the Bucks, what do you do? Because now the Dame's ruptured his Achilles, it kind of makes the offseason a little bit more complicated. Because I know we were talking about offline, that Dame would have been the piece that you moved if you got bounced early. But now that he's hurt, I don't think that his value is the same as it was coming in. So a lot of the news circulation has been around Giannis, right? If Giannis were to request a trade, or if the Milwaukee Bucks wanted to move him, they had different places that they were talking about going. But if you're the Bucks GM right now, what do you do? Do you make that trade or do you try to run it back with the team that you've got?
And I think that's been a conversation the past couple of years, really, with the Bucks. It's like, do you keep that core? And I think them moving Middleton, them moving Holiday the previous seasons, right? They started to blow it up. But I don't think we've seen them enough healthy with this roster, similar to like the 76ers, right? Where Paul George goes down, Embiid goes down, Maxey goes down. I don't think we've seen this team enough fully healthy to where we could be like, okay, this isn't working anymore. We need to move in a different direction. Now, yeah. Granted, like you said, Dame has a ruptured Achilles. I don't know what the timeline is on that. I assume he'll be back next year sometime. But I think that also will play a factor in what they do in the offseason. Because if the diagnosis, like you said, is a ruptured Achilles, then he's out until, I don't know, February or January of next year, right? Yeah. Maybe Giannis doesn't want to play the first half of the season with the way this roster is currently constructed, right? So if that's the case, you probably have no choice but to move Giannis. If I'm the Bucks GM, I don't want to do it. But if he's unhappy with the situation, if Dame's going to be out a significant part of the season, you have no choice. Like, your hands are tied at that point. The question is, what do you get in return for Giannis? And yeah. Also, in addition to that,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Of what you get in return with Giannis, who else is staying on that roster?
Honestly, I think January, February is ambitious. I feel like with the Achilles, it might be a year. So we might be talking about this year, this point next year with Dame coming back. So honestly, I think Milwaukee needs to blow it up. I feel like the roster Dame comes back to looks a lot like the Portland Trail Blazers roster, where it's just like, we're bringing you here to get healthy, make you marketable so that we can trade you eventually. But I feel like get a boatload of picks, get a boatload of like serviceable guys for Giannis. And you just plan for the future, because the thing is, Giannis gave you enough time. He gave you a championship. He gave you what, probably close to a decade in Milwaukee. And there's not more you can ask from him. So I just feel like they need to turn the chapter, because the thing is, if you keep him, then with both of their contracts on the books, like, you can still go make trades, but it's going to look a lot like it's been for the past 5 years with Giannis. With Giannis carrying, Giannis, I feel like at this point in his career, is tired of doing that. Right. And I could see it even in his face with the Pacers game, where it's like, you look across, you know, the conference and you're seeing Boston. You look across the league and you're seeing like Houston and Oklahoma City. It's like all these rosters are better constructed than what we currently have. And I feel like he wants to go to a place where he can be a consistent contender, not just because he's carrying.
And in being a consistent contender, like you mentioned, right? Put yourself in the shoes of like a Damian Lillard, right? Who was on Portland. He was the face of the franchise. He was in that Giannis type role where he's putting the team on his back, having to carry the team. Granted, he had CJ for a little bit before they decided to move on from him. But if you're Dame, right, in this situation where you have a ruptured Achilles, if Giannis does decide to request a trade, right, and he's going, let's say February, January, if Dame comes back, does he ask to get moved?
Yeah.
And if you're the Bucks, do you move him? Because he don't want to deal with that again. He don't want to be in another Portland situation where it's just him and Bobby Portis or him and Brooke Lopez or whoever's going to be there, him and Kuzma. Like, Dame wants to win a championship just as bad as Giannis wants to get another one. So it's like the Bucks might be some dark days for the Bucks moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why let's say they come back next year, Bucks the same position where they barely make the playoffs, and he's back in May. I think you move off of Giannis so you don't make the playoffs. Give him two off seasons to recover, and then I'll give him half of the offseason, half of the season that he comes back, just to market to the league that he's still got it. The problem is, if he's healthy and people still think that, you know, what he looks like, is this Kobe when it comes off the Achilles, or is this Dame still a killer Dame? It affects the leverage that I get back in return for him. I in my heart, I feel like he's still going to Miami. I feel like Miami needs a star. So in about 2 years, they'll probably make that move. But other than that, it's like with his contract, I need to know what Dame I'm getting before I make a trade for him.
If you're Dame in this situation, right, and you, like I mentioned, you go from Portland to going to Milwaukee, you're trying to win a championship, would it be safe to say that this was a failure in going to Milwaukee?
From whose perspective? Because if I'm Dame, I'm like, I didn't have control. Like, I don't.
Yeah, because I mean, you wouldn't even really want to be in Milwaukee to begin with.
And that doesn't fit. Giannis never fit his plans. He had to cater to Giannis. So he wasn't able to just have the offense run through him. So I think he did the best with what he could do. And, you know, we can kind of get on this topic next, but like, I don't think Doc was the best fit coaching wise for him. So it was like, I went to a situation where I was expected to cater to Giannis. You know, he still put up some pretty good numbers even when he was healthy and in. And I think this was just poor roster management and poor coaching.
So you talked about Dame. I don't know. I just want to focus on this Dame part, right? So, like, yeah. You talked about how he had to, like, kind of, like, cater to Giannis, right? So let's say Dame does end up in Miami, right? You got Hero. You got Bam. How does that look, though? Like, is Dame the number one option?
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be the same thing as in Portland with him and CJ, but now you get a big and Bam. And I don't know necessarily what Milwaukee's asking price is going to be, because I personally wouldn't move off of them. I wouldn't move off of a Tyler or Bam, but I don't know what they're going to ask. But if you can keep that three is not getting you a championship, but it's at least making you, you know, playoff contenders. So, yeah, because Hero's not a one yet. I feel like he's a one just because of their situation right now, but I think he's a good two.
Yeah, he had a career high this year. He averaged, what, 24?
Yeah.
Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he can step into like a D-book type role.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see. I mean, I think that's what this year is going to be about, because I don't see them making any immediate moves this year. Because I feel like if the Bucks wouldn't have advanced, that was going to be the move. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to trade for Dame this offseason. But now they have to wait a year because they need to see what kind of Dame they're getting once he comes back from the Achilles.
Hey, Trey Young.
Yeah, that's an option too. So we'll see. Yeah, so let's move on to the next one. I'm going to go to some of these matchups. Like, let's talk about the Cleveland and Miami game, speaking of Hero. So this wasn't even much of a matchup. So Cleveland swept the Heat. And notably, they lost by 50 in game four, 138-83. I think you text me, like, in the second quarter, the first quarter, it was like 41-14. And literally, the moment I turned on the game, I turned on the TV, first thing that came to my head is like, okay, this is the end of the Heat culture. Like, I feel like they need to move on from Pat Riley and just say, hey, we're going in a totally different direction. That defensive toughness, it's kind of like, you know, a perfect example in the NFL would be this with the Chicago Bears. Like, everybody had been living in the 85 Bears forever. And, like, a majority of us haven't even seen the 85 Bears. Don't even know how many of them are still alive. But it was like their culture was predicated on defense, and they were getting in games, but they were not getting anywhere. And I feel like with Ryan Poles this past year, going and investing in offense, going with Caleb and Rome, you know, you see all the pieces that they got this year. It just organizationally, there was a perspective shift, but it required them to, you know, go get a new GM, go get people that were offensive minded. And I think in that same formula, it needs to happen with Miami this year. shout out to Cleveland. Definitely with Kenny Atkinson, I can see improvements with their roster because Darius Garland didn't even play in game four and they were still cooking. And I feel like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the jump that Mobley takes because Mobley can guard on the perimeter and can guard down low. But, you know, even their perimeter guys, I mean, we know what we're getting from Spider. But, you know, even Dean Wade and Max Strus were giving you quality minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with Boston. But I want to focus on this series, man. What were your thoughts on that, on this series?
Yeah, like we talked about in the first episode, I think when we recorded the first playoff episode, we were talking about that play-in matchup between, you know, the Heat and the Hawks. But we both had Cleveland winning this matchup. So my question to you is, like, when you talk about a change in leadership, right? Like, clearly the Heat didn't have enough this year. Like, everything that they dealt with Jimmy Butler, they decided to move him. You bring in Wiggins, who was solid, but he's no Jimmy Butler. And Bam and Hero just wasn't enough, right? So when you talk about a culture change, like you mentioned Riley, but like, is Spo still gonna be the coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think Spo's a good coach, and I think Spoken coach, but I feel like a lot of his ideology came from Riley. But I think if you give a new perspective shift, I think Spo with a better roster, we saw with the Heatles with Bron and Dwayne D. Wade, that he can go and make changes in order to make championship contenders. I think what happens is, like with Pat at the top, you know, emphasizing defense and culture, over time, it just wears you out and you're not able to get stars. I feel like coaching is not the problem. It's just like the GM and roster construction. Like,
so who do you think they could add? I know we mentioned Dame and possibly, you know, like a Trae Young, but who do you think they could add that could come in and, you know, shake things up from a roster standpoint, player personnel wise, that they could add to help that roster up?
Low key, I know we talked about it like before. I don't know their pick situation, of course, but if you made a move for Giannis, I could see that working because I don't think Hero needs the ball to score, and we know that Giannis is going to essentially be the one. He's going to be a point forward, and you got a guy like you know, what they had with not Brooks, but like kind of a better Bobby Portis with Adebayo.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Because Bam's going to do everything for you. And he's going to be willing to, you know, step into the dunker position and, you know, get trash rebounds, score, do all the nasty stuff while Giannis, you know, continues to facilitate. So I could see a drastic move like that. And I think Giannis, if Pat Riley is still there, he wouldn't mind being coached hard. I don't see him being a diva. So that's one big move I could see. You know, I was going to say KD, but I don't think KD fits on their roster because they need a leader. And I don't know if KD is that, if KD wants to be that. And I think KD and Tyler Hero are kind of the same piece. Like, you would kind of be asking Hero to be more ball dominant. And I don't know if that fits Hero's game. And I just feel like that team needs a formidable star. So I would probably see if I can go all out for Giannis, but there's nobody else I can say that's going to change that culture immediately.
Yeah, and you mentioned Giannis, but that would be a crazy big lineup, bro. Khalil Ware, Bam, Giannis. Like, those three alone, that's crazy length.
Yeah.
That's crazy defensive presence. You might not be able to switch as much, but, like, that's a lot of size. Even if you bring in KD, that's a lot of size. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. We gonna see. It's gonna be an interesting offseason. As we mentioned, Miami is a free agent destiny. Like, people want to go to Miami and play in Miami. So,
but see, this is the thing though. It's like, to that point, I remember listening to Teague and them talking 520. He says it isn't really. People like to go and visit Miami, but people don't want to play for Pat Riley. Like, there's not a lot of free agents. It's like, man, I want to go play for Heat Culture. Like, people still, because, you know, it's been documented that, you know, Pat Riley is much different in terms of, like, body fat you got to have, and they do weekly checks and all that kind of stuff. And people kind of get tired of that kind of culture. And so you get some of these crash outs, especially these young talents, they don't want to deal with it every week. So it sounds good, but that's why I think you need an organizational change. So it can be more appealing as a culture, because we know the city's good and no state tax. Like, yeah, I would want to go there.
Yeah. Shout out to Cleveland, though, man. Mobley, defensive player of the year. Like you said, we know what we getting from Spider. Jared Allen holding it down low. Hopefully Garland can be healthy and stay healthy this next series, because they will be playing the Pacers. So you got to deal with Halliburton. You got to deal with Nembhard. Two teams from the same division. That's gonna be a good one. That's gonna be a good series.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: like, I know the Cavs swept the Heat, but was there anything that concerned you from Cleveland's perspective as they prepare for the next rounds?
Not entirely. I do think in the playoffs, though, we're going to have to see the role players. Like, it's going to come down to the role players, right? So the Mobleys, the Jared Allens, the Max Strus, right? Like, we have to see those guys step up in the big moments. Like, they're going to have to make some game-changing plays on either side of the court that can shift the momentum, right? You look at the regular season, Indiana beat them 3-1. So it ain't going to be sweet. So we're going to see, man. We're going to see what the role players can do, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest thing is going to be Mobley, because I think that, you know, Spider's going to get his. But the question is, can Mobley go score on Siakam? Because that's probably going to be the matchup with Turner, Gordon, Allen. So I feel like their roster looks the same. I feel like Cleveland has more talent. But the question is going to be, like, can Mobley step up and be a good third piece or maybe second piece? I don't know the extent of Darius Garland's injury, but that's the only thing that concerns me. Everything else, I think they'll get past the Pacers easy, personally.
I don't know about easy, but it should be a good series because, like we mentioned, they match up pretty good, like, across the board. Like I said, Siakam, guard Mobley. You got Jared Allen, Miles Turner. Got the guard, you got Halliburton and either Spider or Darius Garland, and you got Nembhard. So it's gonna be interesting, man. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's move on. So the Celtics had a gentleman's sweep over the Magic 4-1. Celtics really kind of dominated most of the series, but in game three, the Magic won, you know, 95-93. We know throughout the series we saw different injuries. I think Holiday is still out, so we're going to see how that looks. What were your thoughts about the Celtics-Magic series?
Celtics took care of business. The Magic won game three. I mean, congrats. Yeah. You did it well. You prolonged it. You prolonged the series one more game just to go home, but, I mean, cool. But like you said, health, that's going to be the big thing. I think one of the stars had missed one of the games, right? Didn't Tatum miss a game?
Tatum with the wrist.
Yeah, Tatum missed a game and Brown missed a game, right?
Yeah.
So they just got to stay healthy. We expected the Celtics to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the top team coming into the season, right? So, no surprises here, man. Like I said, they just got to stay healthy. Their starters are tough. Their starters are tough when they're all healthy. So they're going to be a tough out for anybody. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I agree. We took care of business. Like I said in the previous episode, the only thing that concerned me about game three, though, is, like, we're so used to blowing teams out that when it becomes crunch time with one of our starters out, like, my thing is Mazzulla's game planning, especially towards the end of the game. Because in that game, like, I feel like we were pretty much dominating the whole game. But towards the last 4 minutes, it seemed like our game plan and strategy just went out the wazoo. And I'm just like, we are so focused on shooting threes, you know, getting everybody touches. But those are the kind of moments where it's like, I know it's a 4-1 sweep, a gentleman sweep. But it's like those kind of games I want to see Tatum to say, hey, I'm going to take it over. We're going to win this game. We're going to get out of here. And so that's really my biggest concern, because it seems like a lot of times when I watch the Celtics, like Tatum's game feels lethargic. And there's no takeover mode. And that's what I want to see a little bit more of, especially headed into, you know, this series with the Knicks. Because, and like, well, we'll talk about later, like, I feel like Brunson Loki has that. Where it's like, okay, yeah, y'all step aside. I'm going to get y'all to win. And I want to see that a little bit more with Tatum. Because I think he has this, like, he wants to kind of defer to everybody else first. And, but other than that, man, I think we take their business.
Like we talked about before, offline, like with Jalen Brunson, like I think Tatum has that though. He has that ability to where he can defer, right? Like he doesn't necessarily always have to take over. And like you said though, Drew Holiday was out that game that y'all lost. So yeah. It's like that's a key piece. Like Drew, if at the bare minimum, Drew Holiday is playing defense. At the bare minimum. He doesn't necessarily have to score. He's going to stop the other team from scoring.
Yeah.
Y'all only lost that game by 2 points. Y'all get two stops, you win the game. Drew Holiday can get you two stops. We're not even talking about Tatum taking over. He had 36 in that game. You get two stops, you win the game. We're not talking about Tatum taking it over. So I think that's really a bigger factor is just being healthy. And I think they'll be fine against the Knicks, bro. Like,
yeah, we know.
Even if Tatum has a bad game, they should be fine.
We know. Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode because I don't have any doubts in my heart with that. But yeah, I think it played out the way we expected. I think we have every round correct so far in the Eastern Conference. So we'll move on to the Knicks game, man. So yesterday, the Knicks took on the Pistons in game 6, and it was probably one of the best games I saw in the playoffs thus far. Knicks won 116-113, and they beat the New York Knicks in the series 4-2. This was definitely a much closer series than I thought. I thought the Knicks were going to win 4-1 at least. But as a Knicks fan, I'm going to let you go first, man. What were your thoughts? And is there anything that concerns you about the next round? I'll let you get your Brunson rant out because I know we talked about it offline. So go ahead, brother.
I think I had this going like 6 or 7. Yeah. As I mentioned in the previous episode, like the Pistons had our number, right, in the regular season. They beat us 3-1 in the regular season. And Cade was averaging 30 in the regular season. In this series, Cade was averaging like 26. Like, he was still cooking. Like, OG low-key held it down. But, like, when you look at the box scores at the end of the game, and it was a couple of games in there where Cade was struggling a little bit to score, and OG was making it tough on him. But, like I said, he averaged 26, so he was still getting his. Pretty much shut down everybody else outside of Malik Beasley, who was just going crazy shooting threes, bro. Like, that joke was ridiculous. But
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Tough series, hard fought, back and forth, close games. I think the only game that wasn't close was game 1. Outside of that, the games were pretty much back and forth. Pretty much close games all the way out. Knicks got it done, took care of business, advanced to the next round, man. Shout out to the Knicks. And like you said, man, my Brunson slander. Man.
Go ahead, tell the people. Tell the people.
Stop taking all these contested shots, bro. I know he had 40 points last game. We could look at the box score. Let's go back to the third quarter. Let's actually break down the game, right? Third quarter. This man, Jalen Brunson, is coming down court. Tween. Bro, what's the little man that went viral for the ball handling? What's his name? The little short light-skinned dude. Oh, my Julian, goodness. Julian Newman? Huh?
Talking about Julian Newman?
Yeah. Bruh, that's who he remind me of. Doing all that dribbling, bro. To take a shot, bro.
Not Julian. We got to clear that up.
This man Brunson. Contested shot after contested shot. Bro, we don't need you to take over yet. It's third quarter, bro. You got help this year. And I've been saying this all season. Jalen Brunson, you have help this year. You do not have to play like you played last season. You got OG. You got Cat. You got Mikal. You got Josh Hart even cutting to the basket, getting offensive rebounds. Swing the ball. You do not have to take a contested three, a contested mid-range shot early in the game. I know it looks good in the end. He hit some big shots. Cool. He could be more efficient. He can get others involved. You have help. You have help. I don't think Jalen Brunson's style of play is bringing the championship to New York. And I'll say it. I can stamp that.
Yeah. I agree with the championship portion. But my only thing with this current roster is, like, I feel like the problem is coaching more so than, like, just Brunson. Because when I'm watching the offense, it seems like they will do the swing. But at the end of the day, everybody knows that it starts with Jalen first. And I feel like a lot of that swing comes from the fact that, like, Jalen will try to get his, and if, you know, he's faced with a good defender, then he'll try to swing. So a lot of these players are getting the ball late in the shot clock. And I feel like that's really a problem and an indictment on Tom Thibodeau. And it looks a lot like, and I'm not making a direct comparison, but it looks like the Derrick Rose Chicago years, where it was like you surround him with the Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, Kirk Heinrich, and all these players are meant to get the seconds on the offensive end. And I feel like Thibodeau is so worried about defensively how they look that he's kind of put the offense to the wayside. And it's like, okay, this is good, but, like, it's keeping you in games, but you're not getting any quality offensive possessions. And I feel like when Brunson goes to the bench and he sees what the offense looks like, he's like, yeah, I need to score. And honestly, yeah, you can talk about the third quarter, but a lot of their runs came from the fact that Jalen Brunson was just scoring. And I feel like Jalen feels like in his mind, if I don't score here, we might not score, especially with Cat being in foul trouble. And I feel like that with inconsistency with Cat, it's like, yeah, I'm going to have to carry this franchise to the championship. And I feel like that's the mindset across the board.
Yeah, that's where you messed up at, talking about championship, because they ain't going to get there playing like this.
But, I mean, they believe it going in.
Huh?
They believe it going in that they can win the championship. I hope. That's why you trade 5 picks for Mikal, who's another concern.
Yeah, but you got to run some plays with Mikal. You can't give the ball to Mikal and expect post fades. That's not his game.
But what is
his game, man? Huh?
What is his game? We never. I feel like they weren't running plays for him in Phoenix.
But what was he doing? Corner threes. He was getting open looks in the corner and knocking it down,
which was generated from CP3 and Devin Booker driving the lane, right?
Driving the lane. Not taking contested mid-range shots or contested threes.
I hear you. But
you got to run some plays for other people. Like, we talked about it offline, right? We were talking about Cat. He had 2 games against the Pistons where he scored 10 points. He didn't get the looks. He didn't get the shot attempts. The other games where he was scoring 20-something points, he was getting what? 14 shots, 17 shots. He was getting adequate shots. I think that's an indictment on how Jalen Brunson plays. when Jalen Brunson is dribble, tween, pull up contested mid-range, pull up contested three, multiple possessions in a row, that impacts the offense.
Yes. But I think, and you know, we'll talk about this in the next episode, it's the same thing with Luka. Like, it's the same offense. The same tween, bump. Is that?
Guess what?
I know what you're going to say. But my thing with that, though, bro, is like...
It was the reason why Brunson was the first one to get moved.
Man, stop. Like,
it's also a reason why one of them averages 30 plus, and the other one doesn't.
He just got you 40 in a playoff game.
You want a cookie? Luka got where? Didn't Luka make a deep run in the playoffs last year? Or was that somebody else on Dallas?
You know what I mean, bro. You know what I mean. Like, we're over here arguing over semantics. I'm saying in terms of game style.
Go ahead.
It's the same stuff. But my point is, like,
levels to this. What Meek Mill say is levels to this young boy.
The levels are not far off, bro. Like, what we saw yesterday and what Luka has
level between Luka and Jalen Brunson?
In terms of play style, what he did yesterday, we've seen that same thing with Luka. Luka just adds another dimension with the assists and rebounds because he's a taller guard. With Jalen Brunson's current size in the league, pause, but like with his current size, it's like he makes do what he can. Like, we're not going to say he's not anywhere close to the Luka. Stop. And Jalen tries on defense. He tries much harder than Luka. Let's stop it. People were walking past Luka.
Okay, tries and like actually like getting a stop. Totally different thing.
What I'm saying is Luka does not try at all. So if I'm going to have somebody, he's not a complete liability. Nobody is like, hey, we're going to pick on Jalen Brunson the whole game. The Timberwolves are doing that with Luka the whole game.
It's a reason why Jalen Brunson wasn't guarding Cade. It's a reason why they had to put
OG. Because Cade's 6'8". I'm just saying.
Jalen Brunson couldn't guard Malik Beasley.
Man, we're going to stop the Brunson disrespect, man. I'm not saying that they are the same on the same level. What I'm saying in terms of their play style, they have the same impact that as Jalen Brunson has on the Knicks. Luka Doncic had the same thing with the Mavericks.
Hold on, question. So let's just say we make a swap. Brunson for Luka. How far are the Knicks going?
They're definitely beating the Pistons, but I don't see them getting to a championship. They will be losing to either Cleveland or the Celtics. And they will probably lose to the Celtics if they had played this year. It's the same problem.
Did you see what Luka did last year?
Yeah, with Kyrie. Kyrie, and you had Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively.
Like, all right, we got OG, we got Mikal.
Yeah, and I think it would have been the exact same. Y'all would have gotten past the Pistons and lost to Boston.
Hey, man, I think with Luka, man, we beating Boston. No cap.
Absolutely not.
No cap.
Absolutely not. Because we'll talk about this in the next episode. There's some clear problems with Luka.
And we got to talk about this, too, with Brunson. Them ankles.
Luka get hurt too.
Bruh, this man gets hurt every game. This man rolls his ankle every game. This man's going to the locker room to change his shoes or tighten his shoes, whatever he's doing, every game.
Which may be why he settles for those contested jump shots.
Explain that one.
Because if like he don't want to go up and muck it up in the paint, I would just settle too.
So he's scared.
And just take jump shots.
So you want the leader of your team to be scared?
I don't, but I'm telling you what I see and what can lead.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Good. You tell me, like, as a Celtics fan, I don't want any of these guys. But I'm saying that kind of play style, it won't win championships. That's the same thing people were saying with Luka. That ball handling, dribble, 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 and then pass out, it's not going to win you championship. It'll get you buckets. I agree with you on that. But what I'm saying is, like, when we look at the play style, it's not a complete eclipse. Like, they're kind of the same player.
All I'm saying is Luka is a top five player in the league, and Brunson is like maybe top 10, top 15. It's levels to it.
Yeah, because like I said, Luka gives you an added dimension because he's a 6'8 point guard. He also gives rebounds and assists. Like, his overall impact on the game is a little bit more because he's just physically imposing on everybody who's guarding him. Like, he's quicker than any big that you put on him. And if you put a guard on him, that he can see over the defense, and he can still shoot from three, which Brunson can. He's just physically limited.
You want to know something? This is going to be crazy. Steph Curry don't have no physical ability like Luka as far as size.
What is your point?
We've seen him be successful in the postseason. Yes, we haven't seen that yet with Brunson.
Okay. First of all, Brunson has not had a Klay Thompson on his roster, nor KD. And number two, there are limitations to Steph's game. All right. I see you want to end this early. But yeah, this is clear. Don't ever compare the two of them to Cat. There's totally – like you said, there's levels to this. And the same way that Steph got picked on a lot in the finals, where it's like, we're going to clearly screen a roll on Steph. And Steph just makes it do what it do because, number one, Steph is so great offensively. And number two, like we were talking offline, I think Kerr is a much better offensive coach than Thibodeau. So they were always moving around. And you create a lot of mismatches when you're setting screens on the back end. And so now you have Curry on a big, and he's able to get these crazy 30-foot shots. And it's like, okay, partly because of Steph's greatness, but partly because of the situations he's put in, running him off screens, keeping him moving, tiring out defenses. They don't do that same thing in New York, which I agree with you, is part of coaching.
So, question.
Yeah.
Do you think Brunson can bring a championship to New York?
No.
Maybe not this year, but just in general.
Depending on what they do to the roster coaching, but currently constructed, no. They can't even beat the good teams in the regular season.
Okay, so roster wise, right? If you were the GM of the Knicks, and you're, let's say you're building around Brunson, right? What do you bring in? Like, what do you think that roster should look like if the Knicks hope to win a championship with Brunson as the point guard?
I mean, depending on what they're asking, I would inquire about Kevin Durant. Obviously, you need a Kevin Durant that can still get you 25, 26 a game, like that kind of Kevin Durant, not, you know, a scrub Kevin Durant. If you can get Kevin Durant, that gives you a number two. So partly is like, I agree. He needs to, you know, incorporate KD more into the offense. If you have KD, Kat, and him, I think that's a formidable three. And I think he can go to the bench a little bit more and say, okay, I trust KD to at least get me 10 in a quarter, and I have to, and the defense not go stagnant. That's the immediate thought. I don't want Giannis because I think Giannis and him, they're kind of the same ball dominant players. Yeah, I would say an elite wing. So probably Kevin Durant. What do you think?
I just think more bench depth and probably an upgrade at center. slide Cat down to the four, his natural position. I know we talked about it offline about how Cat has the ability to knock down threes and, you know, stretch the floor at the five, but I think he's suited better at the four, as we saw in Minnesota playing alongside Rudy Gobert. I think having an upgrade at the center position, if Mitchell Robinson can't, you know, stay healthy, of course.
Hey, quick question before you go. I didn't watch much of the Knicks, but does Jericho Sims suck or has he been hurt?
Bro, he's on the Bucks, bro. They moved him.
He got traded in the Middleton part? In the Middleton trade? Like at 13? What happened to him? Because I thought
he's on the Bucks though.
So
I forget what trade he was in.
Y'all have Cat, Mitchell, no other bigs outside of that?
Precious Achiuwa. Josh Hart. Bro, we played like 7-8 players, bro. Oh, no cap. We played 7-8 players, bro.
Yeah, I mean, y'all need another big. It's clear. I mean,
why do you think all the Knicks fans were talking about, hey, when we get Mitchell Robinson back, we're going to be a different team? We needed him.
Well, didn't y'all give up Hartenstein? Why did y'all do that?
I said, OKC.
That's what I'm saying, but y'all gave him up for why?
I think we did. We didn't pay him.
I don't know why y'all gave him up. I mean,
and we had Mitchell too. I think it was a decision either between Mitchell and, you know, Zay. So they decided to go with Mitchell, and Mitchell ended up being hurt in the first half of the season, pretty much. So.
Well, I got to see the Cat situation, because I guess you were trading for it at that time, so you probably couldn't keep everybody. But I think this is the league of bigs now, where it's like, I think even what we're talking about with Luka and the Mavericks, like, yeah, Luka was still killing. But a part of it was like, you had PJ Washington who could play at a four, you had Lively, and you had Gafford. It was just kind of like the Bron made the comment, you know, after they lost. It was like back in the bubble year when they had Dwight, JaVale McGee, and you had all these big circulating, and they kind of put a lot of pressure on defenses. I mean, a lot of pressure on the offenses. And I feel like with y'all, especially this past game, you know, Cat gets in foul trouble late, and it was really on Mitchell. And Mitchell, once they started that, the hack of Mitchell, it was like, all right, you know, you lost a possession on offense because he's not going to make both of these. And I think y'all don't just need a big, but y'all need a big that can dominate. Kind of like a Durant, honestly.
Yeah, Durant's ability to rebound, bro, and defend was big for them. Like we talked about, they didn't necessarily win the series, but Buddy was controlling the boards, earning extra offensive possessions for them. I think Mitchell Robinson has that ability, but he wasn't healthy all season. And, you know, you bring him back, like you said, they start to hack him. It ain't too much you can do.
Yeah.
Ain't too much you can do.
So how do you feel about the Pistons moving forward? What do you think they need to do in the offseason?
You know, we talked about this a little bit offline too. Like, they're in a good spot, bro. Like, you got Cade, you got Asar, you got Dorian, still got Isaiah Stewart. I think if you can upgrade, you know, Tobias Harris or Tim Hardaway Jr. from starting, Jaden Ivey was also out with injury. So you still have him. So you have some pieces if you're willing to let go of somebody like an Isaiah Stewart or, you know, a Jaden Ivey, for example. I know you had mentioned Ron Holland possibly getting moved, but I think if you can upgrade that Tobias Harris position at their four, or, you know, Tim Hardaway at the three, that would be good. Now, who that player is, me personally, I'm going to lean towards a shooter, right? Yeah. So you bring in somebody like an MPJ who provides, you know, size, he can space the floor out, doesn't necessarily need the ball to create his own shot, right? Probably lose a little bit on the defensive end because Tobias is more of a bigger body than MPJ. But you add that shooting, maybe that helps them on the offensive end, right? So I look at somebody like that. I don't think they necessarily need another star in a sense. I just think they need some more shooting. So I think if you're able to add that, the athleticism of Thompson on the defensive end, Kay's ability to pretty much do everything for them, facilitate, rebound, score, and he's not a terrible defender. He's no cone on defense. But I think if you add some more shooting, I think they'll be in a good spot. But it just depends on, like I said, who are they willing to give up to make that happen, because they are a pretty young team.
Yeah, definitely a big turnaround from last year. Good thing they have multiple losing streaks. And I think we're seeing that emergence from Cade. And I think, you know, he has the type of play style and body to be an all-NBA type of player, especially like next year, the year after. It's going to be interesting to see how they build around Cade, because I think he needs to improve on the three-point shot. We saw that last night. But I think that they have enough, like, defense. It's like, now, like you said, how can they address the offense? Like, how can we go get offense without losing our defensive production, right? And, you know, do you fill it up with more 3-and-D guys and just bolster your bench?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm curious to see what Ivy looks like coming back, and seeing the steps from Asar, Ron Holland, and some of those guys that, you know, kind of are fringe decent players. Can they make that step up and be, you know, starters and stars and whatnot? I think JB Bickerstaff, he did a great job this season. Definitely should have been, you know, coach of the year in my book, but I can see them going with Kenny Atkinson.
A 30-win turnaround definitely deserves, you know, coach of the year consideration. But also, like, what's Schroeder's contract situation too? Like, we talked about it in the chat, right? Like, I think you brought it up, of Schroeder being a good signing for them. So if they are able to keep that veteran presence, you know, coming off the bench, he showed the ability to knock down some big shots throughout the series as well. And as we talked about earlier with Malik Beasley being able to hit shots, maybe he wants to get a bigger payday somewhere else. But having those veterans around definitely does help, whether they are coming off the bench or, you know, pushing to the starting lineup. But that's also going to be key for them going into next season as well. Like, what veterans can they keep around or bring in to, you know, get them over that hump of, or help them to reach their postseason success that they want to reach?
Yeah, I agree. That's interesting. Is there a move you think that they can make with the current free agents and trade rumors going out? Do you see a certain player that would fit perfectly?
Not necessarily. Like I said, MPJ, never know the Nugget situation. They fire Mike Malone. We've heard the rumblings of, you know, possibly, you know, Jamal Murray, maybe Jokic. MPJ definitely just doesn't seem happy there. He got benched a couple of games. Minutes have gone down. Maybe Aaron Gordon also. Like, it's a lot there in Denver alone. Just looking at that one team in Denver, right? That you could pull from. Like, Aaron Gordon is a similar type player as a, you know, Tobias Harris, a little bit more athletic at this point, but he could come in. Don't really lose much on the defensive end if you bring in like an Aaron Gordon, right? But I think I like I said, I don't think they necessarily need to go get like a KD or like a Giannis or like any type of star. Like, just bring in a role player that's an upgrade on the offensive end. That's a veteran who can come in, they know their role. Cade, this is your team. I'm not going to get in your way, but if you need me, I'm standing right over here. Pass me the ball. I can get a bucket, right? So definitely somebody like that. Like I said, they're pretty much solidified at the guard position and depth and the center position, right? They have depth at both of those positions. Length, athleticism. Just need to fill that three and that four spot.
I know we were talking about KD offline. I just had this thought. What do you feel? What do you think about JJJ on that team?
Wouldn't be bad. Just would be two bigs.
But I feel like we know that Triple J is allergic to rebounding. He wants to play on the outside, and I feel like Durant has stepped into that slot of like the five. So yeah. Stewart will obviously have to be involved in that trade. I feel like you have some young pieces that you could potentially move to the Grizzlies, who's looking for a rebuild, I assume. And I think he will give you scoring from a front court perspective that could, you know, kind of marry to a Duren who wants to get rebounds and trash buckets. And you got KD, and he's kind of – he doesn't necessarily need to be a one because he's played with Ja, and he knows what that looks like.
Yeah, I think he definitely fits that need of, like I said, like that three or that four position, definitely playing the four for them in this situation. I don't know, bro. I'm just not sold on JJJ. But yeah, I mean, you make good points. Like, he's definitely going to be playing the four. He likes to be on the perimeter. Maybe not the upgrade that you're necessarily looking for shooting wise, but I mean, he'll be out there to,
yeah,
somebody will have to guard him. But I mean, I feel like you can get better scoring options, especially like perimeter wise, in JJJ than JJJ, but he definitely brings that size factor of, you know, being bigger than Tobias, and being able to truly play that four position for them. It wouldn't be terrible. You just have to kind of wait and see how it plays out, in all honesty. But if it were me, I'm not making that move. Plus, you would have to pay him.
Yeah, that's the other component too. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. Do we cover all the teams? So we did the Bucks, we did Knicks, Magic, the Heat. So we'll talk about the Western Conference in the next episode, waiting on that. So I guess in the Eastern Conference playoffs, has it gone the exact way that you've expected it to go? Not just with the picks and predictions, but also just the style of play and the games that's been going?
Yeah. Just looking at the Knicks game, though, like I said, like I got to see them spread the ball out a little bit more consistently. I would love to see them run some more plays for OG. Mikal was very up and down in that last series. So hopefully they can, it's going to be tough against Boston, but hopefully they can keep that defensive intensity high and try to find some offense outside of Brunson, because if Drew Holiday is able to go and he's playing, it's going to be a long night for Mr. Brunson.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't want nobody to come on here talking about some, hey, Hundo, man, you was right, bro. Brunson be taking a whole bunch of contested shots because Drew Holiday is putting the claps on that boy. When it's looking bad and Brunson looking sad out there, just remember, I said it.
Okay, so hold on. Let's play a game then. Now, I just want you to think about it. If you're a GM, right, we're going to go off of this year and we're going to go historical, all right? Would you rather have Brunson or would you rather have Kate Cunningham?
I'm going to go Kate. I'm going to take the young guy. I can build around him. Like you said, a bigger body. He can facilitate, he can rebound, and he can get you 25, 30 points. I like what I saw from KU, man.
Brunson or Tyrese?
Mm. That's a good one. I'm gonna go Brunson.
Yeah, yeah, easily. Yeah. I don't know about that. See, Cade, potential, yes. Yeah, I think I would go Cade too. Yeah, because Cade just gives you more with his size. Like, I mean, Cade can, you know, post some guards up, and if he hits the three, I think he can have the same impact in Detroit as Brunson's having right now in New York.
Yeah.
What about? I'm thinking about the Cavs. Would you rather have Donovan Mitchell or Jalen Brunson?
Spider. I'm not a fan of either one of them. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not a fan. I think both of them have similar games. Like, when the conversation was going on about Donovan Mitchell possibly joining the Knicks, I was not a fan of that. Bro, they're both ball-dominant guards that can score. Cool. Both of them can score. Cool. It's not winning no championships. Sorry.
Jalen or Ja?
I'm taking Jalen.
I mean, I think Jalen's a better all-around player right now. I think in New York, if I had to start in New York, it would be Ja. But
why? Yeah.
Because I feel like Ja, man, Ja with that roster, and Ja, like, if he can develop a jump shot, like a consistent three-point, which I think later in this year he started to emerge, you know, in terms of knocking that down, I think he could be a great start. And I think with his aura and his charisma, man, he would have New York jumping. Jalen's a very, like, he has a game of a fringe one, but his personality is like a two or three. Ja is the one. Wherever he goes, which is good, and it can be bad sometimes.
I'm not even going to ask you what I was thinking.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I already know what your answer is going to be.
Go ahead. Ask.
No, I already know what your answer is going to be, so I got to change up the matchups. Ant or Shea?
Ant. I think they're both great players, but I think that foul merchant philosophy, I think it gets exposed in the playoffs. And I got to see what Shea looks like in these later rounds. We've already seen what Ant can do. Ant has proven himself by being a legend killer. And I think that what he did just now, what we talk about later in another episode, he's that guy. And I think that he has proven that. Yeah, I got to see that from Shea before I go with Shea. But yeah. What about, like, huh?
So I'm surprised by the quickness of your answer.
Oh, yeah. Ant's a killer, man. Like,
nah, let's tell. I rocks with Ant.
Okay. Well, I already know your answer. I ain't going to see that.
Amen Thompson or Jared Vanderbilt? I mean, not Jared Vanderbilt, Jaden McDaniels.
Oh, I was about to say, that's a clear... Clearly.
Hey. That's not even a Jaden McDaniels or Amen Thompson.
Currently, right now, Jaden. But if I'm a GM, I would definitely pick Amen because I think he has more potential. But I think if I have to win now, I'm picking Jaden. Like, Jaden gives me everything that Amen gives you, and he has playoff experience. And I think low-key, like, he can hit the three, not down the 3-2. Tyrese or Darius Garland?
I'm going to go Tyrese.
Okay, here's one. JB or Jaylen Brown or Jaylen Brunson?
Okay, okay. Jaylen Brown or who?
Jaylen Brunson.
I need a little more context. Are we like building around these players? Like, are they the number one option? Or like what?
Those are the two on the board. Who are you picking?
Like, this is my first pick, or I already got players?
They just pick a player when you get too technical.
I'm building around.
If you had to start your franchise with these two, who are you picking?
Jaylen Brown. We go from there.
Wow. The Brunson disrespect is crazy.
Bro, I hate his style of play, bro. we already said he's pretty much a cone on defense, and I hate his offensive style of play, bro. I'm taking Jaylen Brown. I at least know he's gonna at least play defense. The only thing that's a guarantee with Brunson is that he's gonna take a contested shot.
Cat or Mobley?
Cat too soft, bro. Give me Evan Mobley, man. Give me Evan. Young Evan. Defensive player of the year, man. Bam or Sabonis?
Sabonis. Sabonis or Sanguine?
Young Sanguine out here. Give me Sabonis.
Ooh. I mean, I like Sengun's game a little bit more, but Sabonis is gonna get you a double double every night. And that's solidified. I don't know if I'm gonna get it every night with Sengun. Okay, here's one. Man, you better not disrespect him like this. Jaylen Brunson or Jaylen Green?
You're disrespectful.
I'm waiting on your answer.
No, you're disrespectful, bro.
I'm waiting on your answer.
Bro, you're disrespectful. Bro, don't ever in your life again say Jaylen Green.
No, because you
or Jaylen Brunson. Don't ever say that again in your life, bro. You're disrespectful, bro.
It's Jaylen Brunson, right?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Jaylen Green or Scotty Brown? Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes.
Jaylen Green or Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero. Bro, Jaylen Green's not like that, bro. We can get that out the way. Jaylen Green's not like that, bro. And I'm standing on that.
Okay. Sengun or never mind.
Paolo or Jaren Jackson?
Paolo. Jaren Jackson or Franz Wagner?
See?
These exist.
I'll take Jaren Jackson. I'll take Jaren Jackson. I guess.
Jaren Jackson or Porzingis?
Porzingis, he a unicorn.
Siakam or Julius Randle?
Siakam.
I think I might go JR. But he kind of emerged late in the season. If he can add that defense component to this game, he's just too versatile for me.
Emerged what?
Bro, Julius was not playing defense like this in New York. And you can admit that as a Knicks fan. I'm just saying, if he can add that defensive component to this game, and if he can get a little bit better three, Siakam, he's kind of limited. Like, what? I know what I'm getting every year. I know what I'm getting every year, bro. Like, there's nothing special about Siakam to me.
So knowing what you're getting is not good enough for you.
No, not with Siakam.
We don't know what you're getting with Julius Randle.
Julius Randle was not playing defense before, but he is playing defense now.
You don't know what you're getting from Julius Randle.
What I'm getting from Julius Randle.
What are you getting from him offensively?
You can get 20 from Julius.
Consistently?
I mean, it depends on the offense. He was doing that in New York.
Oh, it depends on the offense.
Was he not doing that in New York?
Not in playoffs.
Let's keep going. Like, this nigga here, bro. Oh, guys. You got any more?
Maxi or Halliburton?
I actually go with Maxi. I like Maxi's game.
Maxi or Ja?
Ja.
You taking Ja over Maxi?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's too far off. Like, yeah.
Oh no, yeah, bro, me personally, I don't know.
OG or Michael?
OG. That was easy for me. I rocked with OG.
Okay, Middleton and Tobias.
See? Are both players healthy?
Yeah.
Tobias.
Zach LaVine and Jordan Poole.
You already know the answer to that, bro. I'm not choosing nobody from Washington. Alex Starr or Versacher.
I'm so sorry. I don't think I've actually watched a full game of Alex Starr this year. Like,
who would you be talking about? Which players?
Norman Powell or Cam Johnson?
I haven't heard from Cam Johnson since he left for Phoenix.
But what's the music with the Nets?
When's the last time you heard about the Nets?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but
Cam Johnson wants a trade, bro. That was the last thing I heard. That was like the middle of the season. I don't even think they really thought about moving, bro. What's bro trade value now? That's a better.
I mean, with a decent team, he could probably get a late first, like a later 2027. Would that?
James Harden or Dame?
Are we talking about both healthy?
Yes, both healthy.
Dame.
I don't know, man. Harden. No, man. Harden been hooping, man.
Kawhi or Luka?
We going off the future or we going off like, what are we going off of?
Nigga, you the GM. So.
Give me Luka. We can build around Luka.
Who's better? Is Luka still better in your eyes? Or do you think Kawhi's better right now?
Right now? Luka. Luka's top five.
Where's Kawhi on the list?
Like 10, 15 range.
Cool. Trey or Kyrie?
Kyrie. Kawhi or KD?
KD. Booker Maxey.
Give me Maxey. Give me Maxey. It's close, but give me Maxey.
Ja or De'Aaron?
De'Aaron. Not big on Ja, bro. Not big on Ja.
Ja or Zion?
Give me Ja. I'll take the crash out over the can't stay on the court. I'll take the crash out.
Okay, Ja or Melo? I mean, not LaMelo. Got to clarify that.
Ja.
Okay, Melo or Zion?
I said LaMelo the last time, so I'm going to go with LaMelo. Jamal Murray. Go ahead.
I was going to say, amen or SR?
I'm going to go amen. I'm going to go amen.
Who you better say?
Jamal Murray. Who do I want to pair him up with? Jamal Murray. I think I already know what your answer is going to be. But I'm going to say it anyways. Jamal Murray. Or Donovan Mitchell?
Spider.
I figured you was going to say that.
Outside of Thug with Jamar, Jamal, I'm not really big on him, honestly.
Victor or Jokic?
Jokic.
Over Wimby?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You going Victor?
Yeah, bro, he's 19. I'm taking that. Hey, you all did now. You don't think Wimby can win now? We can put some veteran pieces around him.
Yeah, you can put some veterans around him, but Jokic is going to get me a solidified. Yeah, this is crazy. Like, he's going to get me a solidified triple-double. Bro, average probably triple-double.
I hear you. I mean, there's nothing against Jokic. But if I get Wimby, bro. This man led the league in blocks and didn't play the whole season. Wasn't even close to playing the whole season.
Yeah, I still give me Jokic. Yeah.
Oh man, I got a young piece for years that I can build around. If I'm the GM and I get Wimby with the first pick, oh, we about to get snipers.
Man, it sounds good. We'll see. We'll see what it'll look like.
Bro, if I was on 2K, bro, and I had Wimby with the first pick, it's a wrap. My team about to be crazy.
Hey, speaking of that, so you know we saw the news with Pop. How you feel about that? And do you think Pop is the greatest NBA coach of all time?
I don't think I can say that. I don't think I can say he's the best NBA coach of all time. Definitely, like you said, like a similar to like Miami situation, culture change. It's definitely going to be a shift there. And in San Antonio, bought in some legends, Ginobili, Tony Parker. That was a crazy era. Tim Duncan, David Robinson, all those guys, Bruce Bowen, set the tone, laid the foundation, got to see the new generation with Wimby. Like, bro, like, you've been there for a minute, bro. Like, winning championships, competing, rebuild. He's seen it all, bro. Like, he's literally seen it all. But definitely, like, a changing of the guards there. I'm interested to see who they're going to bring in to coach.
It's going to be the interim guy. They already announced it. Okay. Mitch Johnson.
You got Wimby. You got some pieces there. De'Aaron Fox. Castle, who just won Rookie of the Year. So, you got some pieces. hopefully they can have a similar turnaround like the Pistons did this past year. I guess that's probably every rebuild his team goals. Let's try to be like the Pistons. Let's try to hit a 30-win turnaround. So we're going to see, man. They got a lot of talent on that roster. Hopefully, you know, Wimby can come back and be healthy. He's going to be a big factor for years to come. But, yeah, I don't know if I can say Pop is the greatest coach of all time. He's probably like top five, definitely top 10, if not top five, definitely top 10.
You already have your list? I'm curious to know who's ahead of him.
Nah, I don't have my list yet. But, I mean, the names that come to mind, I mean –
Phil Jackson, I mean, think of him.
Phil Jackson, yeah. Pat. Maybe Pat / Spo, maybe. Like, do you put Spo up there? Do you think Pop is better than Spo and Pat Riley? I mean, he could be. I mean,
yeah. Yes. 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 Okay. Like,
I'm trying to think what other coaches are out there. I mean, shoot, ain't too many for real that I know of that I've seen in my lifetime. I mean, yeah, I guess in my lifetime, yeah, he top three, top two, if not one in my lifetime. I'm trying to think what other coaches are out there outside of, you know, Phil Jackson. So, I mean, yeah, he in the conversation.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you could add Kerr into that mix, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Kerr's up there. And I feel like it's kind of hard because you're kind of – your coaching career is really predicated on the stars you have. So I'm pretty sure there was a lot of good coaches that just had no talent, and now they're either out of the league or whatnot. Yeah. Think about, like, even like Benny Adele Negro, right? And back at the Clippers, like the year that he got fired, now you bring in, you know, the Lob City. And it's like, dang.
Yeah.
He was dealing with fringe pieces.
But, yeah, you look at somebody like a Doc Rivers that had, you know, great rosters, but ran into, you know, LeBron James, for instance, right? You ran into a Steph Curry, like, when he was with the Clippers. So it's just like, you look at coaches like that who just probably just couldn't get over that hump, right? So,
we got a lot of great content planned for you guys. Like I said, we owe you guys another episode. We're going to be doing another episode on the Western Conference edition once these games roll out. We got the Rockets and the Warriors that play tonight. Also got the game 7 for the Nuggets and the Clippers. So got some exciting matchups. And before we get into round 2, we'll have another episode for you guys. Like always, we appreciate everybody who likes and subscribes to our content. And be sure to share it with somebody who doesn't know about the Winning Shot. Share our content. We have tons of content, not just with the NBA, but also with the NFL and with college sports. And also tune into our Substack if you haven't already. We should have that posted somewhere, but you can get access to our writing because we don't just talk, we also write about different topics. So if you want a one-stop shop for all sports, man, tune in with us and share our content all over the world as we continue to just talk about the current events, but also try to use this as a ministry where we spread the name of Jesus everywhere. So like I said before, man, appreciate you guys for sticking. Stay tuned. And if you like anything or disagree with anything we said, man, put it in the comments, man. We want to hear from you. We going to be active, man. We going to be active, especially as these playoffs roll out. So appreciate you guys, and thank you. And we'll see you next time. Peace.